ultimately, we're all dead men. Sadly, we cannot choose how, but we can decide how we meet that end. In order that we are remembered as men.
And I'm gonna blow up my freaking computer. I'm alive. Nope, I haven't died, and today I've brought friends. Oh, it's been a while since I posted a show. Sorry, guys and gals, but just my computer is being an asshole. Have no patience with it, and I want to throw it out the window. But I went to the secondary computer, so if I'm sounding a little bit different today, please forgive me. And let's go ahead and get into today's show. We were going to go over the Space Wolf Lone Wolf, and we're going to go over some tactics involving him. Him, basically. All Space Marines are actually males. And let's see, what have I been doing in the hobby? Well, I've been doing a buttload. Actually, I've been painting, so that's kind of nice. I'm working on my Sanguinary Guard. I'm working on some Malifaux pieces for my buddy Becker. Picked up some bases. Actually, they were sent to me by Fiendish Fabrications. This is a company that does round shoulder bases, perfect for Malifaux. They also have some bases that you can use for Warhammer 40K. It's pretty cool. They sent me a couple samples. And in today's show, you give me some feedback because I want to make sure all my listeners are alive as well. And we'll go ahead and give away a little sample pack or two of what they sent me. They sent me some Gothica miniatures and some bases. Polyurethane, is that what it is? And they're like a resin type base. I'll let you judge for yourself. And I've been working on my bases. I got some Fire and Brimstone bases. I'm painting up my Lilith, Avra Nephilim. I'm going to put them on there, and I'll have them up on my site. Yes, I'm actually going to put pictures of my shit up on the site. So that's doing that. I took first place in the HeroClix Captain America pre-release tournament. So that was pretty cool. Spent too much money on HeroClix lately. I talked with the guys from the Etherbox, and they'll be on today's show. I had a little interview with them. Also, I had a two-part interview with Bill from the Gamers Lounge. Within the next day or two, I'll post that show. You can give it a listen. Half of the show is on Sean Hammer. The other half's on the Gamers Lounge. So it forces cross-listening podcast genres, or I don't know what the hell you want to call it, to listen to each other. Let's see. I went to this thing called Games Day, and I met with a couple authors, and pretty soon I'll be having some what I would call the Games Day prize packs. I got some Space Marine bags with some Space Marine lanyards. I have books autographed by C.L. Werner, Gav Thorpe, Nick Keim, and Mike Lee to give away inside those. And also, each bag will consist of the 2011 Games Day miniature, which is Skaven Warlock or Engineer, I don't know what the hell it is. It's a rat, and there's the Games Day piece this year. Let's see, anything else? Nope. Anyway, so today's meta show is going to be about White Dwarf 379. It's been a while since I picked up a White Dwarf, and I kind of had to for two reasons. For one, it's got official update to the army book for the Vampire Counts. I play Vampire Counts. I'm hoping that, you know, what I saw in there was pretty sweet. And second thing is, they have the first half of the new Codex Sisters of Battle. Yes, the Sisters of Battle have an old-school Blood Angel two-part White Dwarf Codex. The Sisters needed something. I don't know if this was what they needed, but with the release of the Grey Knights, it was bound to happen. So let's see. That's pretty much all I've gone through. And let's go ahead into White Dwarf. As we pick this open, we have a beautiful pictures of the new undead models that they have, and we'll get to those in. Just right now, we have the new releases. We have a Vampire Lord on a Zombie Dragon, or a Ghoul King on a Terrorgeist. Now, these are pretty cool. I like what they're doing on these large creatures. They're on bigger bases than regular dragon, I think, too. I think they're on the base size that you find, like Necro Sphinx and all that. At first I thought this was something that you could only play with Storm of Magic, so I was like, bullshit, shenanigans, I don't want to do that, but I found out it's an official update to the army book, so that's cool. But anyway, this kit, it could be one or the other. It's got a lot of pieces to make a zombie dragon with, I think, two different armored vampires on top, or the Ghoul King on a Terrorgeist, which I think there's not a lot of difference within wings. It's a posture, head, and the rider that makes the Terrorgeist different, and the rules, of course. So this is what, if I pick up one, this is what I'm going with, because, well, I don't have one. Next up, for new releases, we have the new Karn Wraith and the Tomb Banshees. These were existing models before. They were a troop choice, and they take a little bit different appearance in here, and they come in a plastic set, just like the Storm of Magic wizards that they put out. So, very interesting. Impaled Demons of Chaos Battle Force. Who cares? Sorry. And we have the Garden of Mor. This is pretty cool. This is Warhammer Fantasy Battle terrain piece, kind of like the mansion, but it's like a little mausoleum type graveyard. It's pretty cool. I think every table of the old world needs to have one. We have some Citadel Finecast coming out. Vlad von Karstein, Conrad von Karstein, Herald of Zinj, Blast the Standard, blah blah blah. I heard that working with a Finecast isn't all that great, but I saw a whole bunch of it at Games Day. It looks cool. I guess it looks crisper. If you're not gonna paint your models, it looks better than having, you know, silver models on there. Next up, we have Finecast Dark Eldar coming out. We have the Dark Eldar Ghoul and the Eldar Medusa. So that's pretty cool. Couple Black Library publications released, including Nagash the Immortal. Go Nagash. Goes into this random stuff, and we get into the Dead and the Damned. The little section about selling the Zombie Dragon and Terrorgeist. Shows you how to use them in your army. Also use them as the whole, what you would call it, Storm of Magic little group and stuff like that, which I have no knowledge of at all. So we'll just go with that. But we do have some new rules for the Terrorgeist. This puppy's weighing in at 225 points with a movement of 6, weapon skill 3, ballistic skill 0, strength 5, toughness 6, 6 wounds, 3 initiative, 4 attacks, and 4 leadership. Now, it's a rare choice in the Vampire's Count army. Alternatively, it can be taken as a mount for Ghoul King. And a Ghoul King has to be a vampire lord with a Ghoul King vampiric power. Special rules, it's got Death Streak, Fly, Large Target, Regenerate of a 6, Terror, and Undead. Now, unfortunately, because I think it should have a Ghoul ability, but that's a little bit killing it with a Ghoul King. The Death Shriek, similar to the Banshee Scream, but instead of 2d6 plus 2 versus the opponent's leadership and whatever the difference is, that's how many wounds you do, it's going to go 2d6 plus the amount of wounds that it has. So that could be damaging. I mean, you could roll up 24 attacks if you roll 2 sixes on this Terrorgeist weapon. And what's pretty cool about this, it's not... You can use it in close combat and everything. And unlike a lot of dragons, you have a breath weapon you can do once. Of course, it has Thunder Stomp and stuff. But this could be done every turn. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. It can have one of the following upgrades. Infested at 10 points, or Ramson Maw at 15. Infested basically has, when it's killed, all units that are in base contact take 3d6 strength 2 hits. And Ramson Maw... let's see. Oh, it has poison attacks. So you got to do pretty much that. It's a pretty cool model. I don't know. I probably will own one. I'm not going to lie to you. Next up, we have the Tomb Banshee and Karn Wraith. Now, these aren't really two different stats or anything that's on the, in the Vampire Count army book. They state that the official rule, these are official rules that can be alongside the rules for Warhammer Army's Vampire Counts. If you have any comments or whatever. So, it says the Tomb Banshees are hero choice in Vampire Count's army, and 0-1 can be included in the Pact of the Dreaded Vampire Council of Sylvania. I'm assuming that's the whole, shindig Storm of Magic. Now, it's got the Ghostly Hall. That'll be 2d6 plus 2 for each point above leadership to take a wound when they'll save. Aetheral, Ghostly Hall, Terror, Undead. pretty much exactly like Tomb Banshee in the Vampire Count army book. Instead of upgrade for a Karn Wraith squad, this allows you to have another one. So I'm assuming you can have have them as your hero choices. You can have them also in a unit of Karn Wraith as an upgrade for that. And when I say Karn Wraith, now we have the Karn Wraith that can be it's got pretty much exactly the same stats, abilities, and everything. And it can be as a hero choice in a Vampire Count's army, or it can be a 0-1 included in the Vampire Count's Pact, Dreaded Pact of Sylvania. Both models look pretty cool. They got that nice little plastic flow to it, so like I said, just like the models for Storm of Chaos, you'll be able to manipulate with these a little bit. The Karn Wraith is pretty cool. It's got this hunched over floaty feel, so I like it. It goes in, White Dwarf goes into about the whole mausoleum thing of more. Got a cool picture of a Vampire Count. Goes into Cavalry and Lord of the Rings, and it shows a whole bunch of different packs that you can take with your Warhammer army. Like I said, I know nothing about it. Then they did a battle report in here. Vampire Counts against and Warhammer Forge has a nice little insert showing some of their stuff. They have apparently this giant freaking giant that makes a regular the regular Games Workshop giant look like a like a halfling next to an ogre. And the steam tank, there's a land barge that makes the steam tank look like a War Master compared to the regular steam tank. So looking forward to that. It goes over heavy metal with the monsters. Oh, it goes over the new black dragon for Dark Elves. Oh, yeah, they needed that. Then we go into Sisters of Battle. Now, I'm not going to go into it this lot, because next month, when the White Dwarf comes out, I'm going to actually cover Sisters of the Battles. So I don't want to go into much of it, but I'll just give a little tidbits if no one wants to pick up this White Dwarf. Of course, they broke up the this Codex in two parts. This is all the Army Special Rules, Acts of Faith. Next one will be, I suppose, items and point costs. Sister Battles still have the faith points. They got the new way of how to use them. Independent characters in Acts of Faith, and basically everything minus one unit in this whole damn freaking section has Shield of Faith. This is pretty cool. I'm assuming the Sisters Battle going to drop in points because a lot of Marines have, but models with a Shield of Faith special rules have a 6+ invulnerable save. So it's like pretty cool. They're running around with their KNS, their command squads, their priests, the battle conclaves, Sisters of Pentia, Penitent Engines, Battle Sisters, Celestian Squads, Seraphim Squads, Dominion Squads, Retributor Squads, Exorcists, Rhinos, and Immolators. So that's that for what you can pick. You can also have special characters for Arch-Confessor Kirinoth, Uriah Jacobus, and we have Saint Celestine. Of course, we have her. I will get into her. I'll give you a little spoiler on her. Okay. I don't know how much she costs, but she has special rules, Acts of Faith, independent characters, Fearless, and Shield of Faith. She has Jump Infantry. She has Miraculous Intervention. Every time Celestine is removed as a casualty, place a counter mark on the spot where she died. Now you're going to roll on a D6 at the start of each turn. I roll a 4+, she stands up, bam, she's a freaking Necron with D3 wounds. I thought that was funny. I was just like, the Sisters Battle's got a Necron. But she's got some pretty healthy stats, crappy strength. She's got weapon skill, ballistic skill 7, strength, toughness, wounds 3, initiative 7, 5 attacks, and nice. Leadership 10, save 2+. She also has the armor of Saint Catherine. It confers a 2+ armor save and 4+ ward save. And she's got the Ardent Blade, which is power weapon, always wounds enemy on a 4+, so I guess it really doesn't matter what you got for strength. And it's got a template, strength 5, assault 1, AP 4, blast. So that's pretty cool. Rest of the White Dwarf is a little plain. It's like you don't know you're actually reading White Dwarf, but you gotta go through all this stuff. And on the end page, this is what I like. Next month, not only are we looking at Sisters Battle, but we're also looking at the Ogre Kingdoms. Yes, the Ogre Kingdoms. And they'll be making an appearance in next White Dwarf. So that is pretty much what we have. That's the new White Dwarf. Like I said, I was going to go over Lone Wolf. And we'll take a break. We'll hear the interview with the guys from the Ethervox. Then I'll close out and I'll post this and get it ready for your ear holes. All right, talk to you soon. Are you looking for that perfect Malifaux bass? Do you have all the other bass inserts that Weird has to offer? Do you want to be unique, different from your friends who also play the same games as you do? Well, check no further. At Phoenix Fabrications, they have a wide variety of round shoulder basses that is perfect for today's Malifaux player. They also have 40K and Fantasy as well. Check them out at PhoenixFabrications.com. Alright, well, let's go ahead and get this started. Alright. Well, today, guys and girls, I have Ian and Julian from the Ethervox podcast. Hello, guys.
Hi, hello.
Now, this you guys have a podcast. It's called Ethervox. Why don't you tell everyone what you do on Ethervox?
Do you want to field this one, Julian?
Sure. So the Ethervox is a podcast that we started a few months ago. When did we start? In the new year?
Sometime around then.
About Malifaux, Weird Miniatures, character-driven skirmish game. And we both listened to a bunch of other gaming podcasts, but there wasn't really a sort of Malifaux-centered podcast out there. Not many people were talking about Malifaux, so we figured that was a niche we could fill.
So that's why you just focus mainly on Malifaux? Or is that the only thing you play, or...?
We're just starting to get into some other stuff. Like we just got starter boxes for War Machine to try that out, and we're slowly building up some 40K forces. But right now, Malifaux is the only minis game we're playing.
But we're both long-time gamers. Like we both have backgrounds in GW games and.
Yeah, well, trust me, I know that. I've been playing since my daughter was 3, and that was 19 years ago. So, yeah, wow, I'm old. Anyway, how did you come up with the name Ethervox?
Well, it's from the fluff in the original Malifaux rulebook. Or is it in Rising Powers?
It's in Rising Powers.
Rising Powers, okay. There's just a little sort of inset box about, you know, with background about the world. And they talk about... this sort of radio system they have in Malifaux, dominated by the guild, but there's all sorts of like weird kind of pirate stations and stuff run by the union and also all sorts of strange mythology and kind of ghost stories about you know, Ethervox stations popping up and driving people mad and so on.
So yeah, the Malifaux radio system. The Malifaux radio system was like pretty much a perfect name for a Malifaux podcast.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely does make sense. Let me just tell you guys, you're doing a great job on this too. I really enjoy listening to your guys' podcast, and every time I see a new episode, I get all giddy inside and I hurry up and listen to it.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Now I'm just gonna say. Why once a month? I know sometimes I'm very sporadic when I do mine. I try to do every 2 weeks, but as anyone who listens to me knows that I'm just like whenever I feel like a podcast.
We just didn't think there was any chance of us actually being able to get a fortnightly podcast out on time.
We try and put a lot of work into it, and we do a lot of editing. Of each episode as well, which is, I mean, I guess that's a sort of choice we made, but also I feel like if we didn't, then it would be a lot of just dead air and rambling, and, you know, we're not very good as hosts without a lot of editing, so it just takes a long time to produce each episode, and to get it to a sort of quality we're comfortable with, so yeah, it's, every 2 weeks it just wouldn't be doable for us.
And we try and do a fluff story every episode, and then Julian writes all of those. So making that every 2 weeks, you know, that would be a hard, you know, that's a tough ask.
Well, it sounds like Julian just needs to get busy.
Yeah.
No, not
that. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, if I could, you know, have this as a full-time job, you know, if someone was paying me a salary, then that would be good. You know, I could do it every 2 weeks. Until that time,
Don't get any ideas. I gave you some Black Ray jokes, didn't I? What more do you want?
That's true.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll get back to Black Ray.
You want him to start painting your stuff, too?
I'll try to kind of get my stuff painted.
Oh, I have a hard time with mine, too. I actually just recently got my my first complete Malifaux crew painted up by the Paint Apothecary. And he painted my Karai crew, and it turned out pretty good. Unfortunately, it's not every piece I need, but... Yeah. So, why did you guys get into Malifaux? Anyway, you talked about being long-time gamers and such. What drew you towards Malifaux?
Well, we were both new to the area we live in. And we just basically found each other as the only gamer nearby. We started talking about doing a minis game. But Julian didn't have any stuff at all. Like, all his stuff from when he was a kid was sold. He was a bit dubious about, you know, like the high starting cost of something like 40K or Warhammer. So I was looking at skirmish stuff, and I said, well, what about this? It's really weird. And, you know, you can have a baby in the diaper with a carving knife and a demonic teddy bear in your crew. And he said, that sounds cool. Show me the rule book. I like this.
Yeah, that was definitely my my selling point. What crew I thought I was going to start playing is because of Baby Cade.
Yeah, Baby Cade or the Rotten Bells. They seem to be the two models that pull people in initially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, because someone jumped ahead, but I was going to say that your fiction on your site is pretty damn sweet. I was going to ask who writes it, and, you know, do you enjoy it as, you know, as much as it's coming from my ear holes? And does it, you know, you find deep pleasure writing the fiction for the Malifaux that you use on your podcast?
Yeah, I enjoy writing it, and it's good to have the podcast to sort of, you know, force me to write something every month at least. Like I'm trying to, I'm an aspiring writer, I'm trying to, you know, get short stories written, and I've sold one or two to science fiction magazines. But of course, the hardest thing about writing is actually just, you know, forcing yourself to do it every day. So having a regular kind of deadline is kind of nice just to sort of get me going. And I enjoy writing in the Malifaux world because it's such a sort of varied and rich world, and you can do, you know, silly things, you can do serious things. Like it's nice to have that background. I've never really written fan fiction before, but it's kind of liberating to do so because you don't sort of feel like you have to be responsible for the whole world. You can just sort of, you know, play around in someone else's world and not have it kind of. Almost not have it reflect on you. So yeah, sort of liberating in that way.
Definitely. So talking to different Black Library authors and the amount of stress that they got to go through to keep within the stability of the world and stuff, definitely feel I can definitely feel a freedom that you write with the Malifaux and stuff, and I enjoy it. Hopefully other people do too, and if this is your first time hearing about it, check out Guides at Etherox.
Yeah, reading those stories when I first get them is like one of my favorite bits about doing the podcast. I mean, originally it was put there kind of out of necessity. We started the podcast having played two games from the fact that no one else was doing one, so why not us? You know, how can we make it not suck? What are we good at? Well, Julian's writing stuff, and I used to work as an actor, so we put that together and did the audio stories, and that's worked pretty well for us.
It's also great to have, you know, to hear an actor reading the stories. Like the first time I heard one of them read, I was like, whoa, it sounds like a professional radio play or, you know, a professional audiobook of the story. Just to have, you know, someone who's been trained in acting reading them. So that was really cool.
And then I get it back from Julian and it's got sound effects and music and it's not my work anymore. So it's kind of nice that it goes back and forth like that.
Yeah, it's a nice little collaboration we got going on.
Yeah, it turns out very nice, and it's just like, yeah, that would be pretty cool, send your stuff out and have it read by an actor and stuff. And that's pretty cool. I did not know, you know, getting to know you guys, it makes me appreciate the little bits of your podcast even more. Now, with each of you in turn, what crews do you play for Malifaux, And if you play more than one, which one's your favorite? And what style of play do you feel that that crew actually adheres to? I mean, in your own, I know each one can go different ways depending on, you know, what minions and stuff you want to take or your own style of play. So let's go ahead and start with you, Ian.
I have a few crews, and even more that yet to see the game. Yeah, I have Lady J. I played a few games with her. Played a couple of games with Sheamus. Played half a game with Leviticus before I realized I needed to know the game a lot better before I played with him. But most of the time I've been spending with Sonya Crid. She's awesome to play with. She, like, sits back, drops all these fire templates down, like little witchlings running everywhere, and then they go down to one wound, I zap them and turn them into another witchling. Any of my opponent's crew gets down to one wound, cast a spell, turn them into a witchling for me. It's a lot of fun, and her avatar is amazing. Can't wait to get it.
Yeah, it looks pretty. Oh, now you've seen just the picture, or have you seen the model for it?
Oh, I've seen a picture of the model. Yeah.
Oh, okay. God, I haven't seen the picture yet.
It's on the website.
I'm gonna have to go searching a little bit more. I did get a picture of the Lady J crew. They're like, she's got her head held on her hands and everyone's dead around her.
Oh, the Gen Con special, the Nightmare Edition?
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to put some. And so I was like, oh, cool. I don't have to search the web for pictures. So... Sonya Crid is your favorite, huh? How about you, Julian? I think maybe we lost
Pandora.
Oh, there he is. Pandora.
And, sorry. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you're back.
So that was sorry. I had a big silence just then as well. I must have had some connection issue. Yes, that was with Pandora. Who's fun to play, but I think I prefer the Dreamer, who's my second crew. That's a tactic that I think he works very well with hit and run. I haven't really dabbled that much in Daydreams and Alps yet, but I think there's great potential there, especially with the Daydreams. You can attack with Chompy Bits and get him out of combat at the same turn. So yeah, doing hit and run attacks and without putting yourself into danger is a very useful ability of the Dreamers. And then recently I just bought Samity from the Gremlins, who I've had terrible success with. I haven't won a game. I'm still trying to figure them out, but I think they could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, terrible success. let's see, I started with...
that's not quite the term I want, yeah.
I started with the Ortegas. I played a couple games with them. Perdita's pretty sweet. And let's see, I bought the Lilith box set, and I just fell in love with how their crew performs. And it's amazing, and I just recently picked up Nikima and put her together, and I have no idea how I'm going to paint her yet. But she is a beautiful primer gray right now. So
yeah. How hard is she to put together?
It is a pain in the butt. It's, her horns themselves aren't too bad. One of mine was, kind of broken off. I knew I could probably send it back to Weird and they'll fix the horns, but I think it gave it kind of a personal look to it. It kind of reminded me a little bit like, you know, how Hellboy would shave off his horns a little bit. So she's got broken horn. Her wings don't really have a set stature point where they're going to sit in, so you got to kind of, my pun, wing it. And it's the whole thing is just very... subjective and how it bases on how you glue the right leg onto the rest of the torso, then the rest of the model just flows from that. She'll take on a certain lean toward, then you're end up putting your wings and the sword and arm was the worst. That was the pain, and that was, if I could have asked for one model to be molded in one piece, it would have been Nikima. But she's pretty cool. A lot of weight goes on her one leg, though, because she's got one leg up in the air and the other one on the base. So it's like, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do to transport her around. So, well, I'll figure out something.
Yeah, like the model looks awesome, but I look at it and think I'm terrified to assemble and paint you.
Yeah, I'm on that fact of being terrified to paint it. The assembling is done, but I want to do something nice for her, but I like painting female miniatures. For some odd reason, I'll spend super amounts of extra time with it, so that's why I picked up Perdita. And then Nakima's there, then Lilith, she looks pretty cool, so, we'll get there. I'll tell you what, though, I could be just playing it wrong. I'm not entirely an expert at this game, but her sister Lilith is a lot more devastating than Nakima, and Nakima looks far more cooler. I don't get it. So, but Nakima is what I would call my bullet bait. Every time I've played her, everyone likes to shoot her. We get that, we're playing by schemes and strategies. So it's pretty cool.
Huge scary model syndrome.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, it's amazing how far they go out of their way to try and kill her. And, she got all the regeneration stuff. I tried playing her with Lulu and Lilitu. I don't have the knack for them yet, but I'm going to ignore that. But I do... I tried playing a growth list with Nakima and the Terror Tots and maturing them into mature and young Nephilim and stuff. And it's working out okay. And it doesn't really hurt when the first time you play Lilith, you charge her, I charge Nino, and I pull the Red Joker from damage, and after I pulled the Red Joker, I pulled a 13 and just killed the little sniping butthead. It was pretty cool. So I'm biased now. I was just like, that's the new piece right there. And just recently, I picked up the Colati box set. I played one game with them. I'm just not understanding it yet, but I will. Just something about little creepy dolls is pretty sweet. And I played the two Stitched Together set that came with the Dreamer box set with them, too.
I hate those things.
Why?
Because Julian fields them all the time, and I can't kill them.
And I discovered recently that you can't see through their smoke cloud, even with Hunter.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was so happy when I was playing with the Colati crew. A friend of mine was playing his Gremlins, and I abducted one of the Gremlins. It was real pretty cool.
Right. I've never used abduction yet.
Well, I was just like, you got the whole creepy fog, and I was playing against Ophelia's gang, and, they're all height one models, so I went for it, and, those are the only thing in my calm Colati crew that are painted. There's my Stitched Togethers, too, so I would say I'd paint him because he did beautiful, but he's already done. Let's see. Well, that's a little bit about that. Okay, now we got some new upcoming things from Weird. I'm sure half the people listening are going to know exactly what about. They just released the new Puppet Wars website this week. You guys get a chance to check it out?
Yeah, it's looking really nice. You've got all the models up there, which we've been waiting to see.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about their choice of masters for it, but it's okay. And the fact that it's a complete game all on its own, I'm looking pretty forward to playing it. That's going to be one of the things I pick up on when I'm not going to make it to Gen Con this year, because games in Gen Con are like 4 days apart. So my wife's all like, no, we should just do one because of finances and stuff. But I will be ordering Puppet Wars over the internet that weekend. Hopefully I get it. You guys going to actually play the Puppet Wars?
Yeah, I hope to.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if we're going to be shelling out the $80 during Gen Con, because there's lots of other things we want. But yeah, eventually, for sure.
Well, that brings us into the next question. Gen Con's coming out, and we're looking at a new rule book, as well as some avatars and alternate models. what do you guys have your eyes on so far?
To me, Sonya and Sheamus.
You like the Sheamus, huh?
Oh, yeah, I totally was not expecting that for his avatar.
I wasn't expecting the alternate sculpt like that either. I kind of, it's kind of got the Star Wars Army of Darkness feel with the rotten bell by the leg. I like it.
Yeah, hopefully they're separate, because I'd get that just for the fourth rotten bell.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's awesome. I love the original Sheamus. I don't see any reason to change that, but I would buy the alternate sculpt just for the rotten bell.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm looking at the Nakima model right now, and she's got the molded base. I don't know if we're going to be lucky enough to get her in a separate piece or not, or she's going to be part of the base. I hope not.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. Let's see. As for myself, I don't even know what this next book is going to... I'm listening to Eric talk about it and stuff, and the rumors of stuff going around. I know I'm looking forward to... Molly, her box finally coming out, and see what goodies she actually gets. I'm actually quite compelled by her little stories in the Rising Power book and stuff, and her background, so I can't wait to see what she's got kicking out.
Yeah, a lot of people have been waiting for Molly. They're really excited about Molly coming out.
Well, Molly's
going to be an interesting one.
Molly's been around since before Malifaux.
Yeah?
If you read the Weird Chronicles... The e-magazine they did for a while.
Okay.
Issue number 2, which kind of came out like just the same time as book 1, actually is when she gets killed by Sheamus.
Oh, okay.
And Risen, so like she's always been there, and we've just been waiting to play with her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know she's going to get a load of cool new models for her crew,
yeah.
The horrors.
And, I can't wait to see what's in it. I mean, it's just... And I think that's what makes me want to play it more or have it, because I don't know what's in it yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let's see. With all the alternate sculpts and stuff, they posted a picture of the Nightmare Edition Teddy. What do you guys think about that one?
We were talking about this just before you came on. I think we both had the same reaction. At first, we weren't so sure, but I think after a while, we both ended up liking it a lot. I think I'm going to be dropping for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of partial. Well, to the older Teddy. I was going to make mine kind of look like Winnie the Pooh. I was going to put a T-shirt on him and stuff, and I figured, what's more frightening than Winnie the Pooh with teeth? I think. And I toyed around with the fact of making now, when I say toy around, my ambition sometimes is just comes up, it ends at the end of my mouth. I was going to do a Christopher Robin as my dreamer. So,
that's a good idea. I haven't heard of that one before, yeah. That's smart.
I figure that kid's, he's imagining all those stuffed animals, so he's got to be messed up in his own right, correct?
I think what makes the Nightmare Edition Teddy great is the bow tie.
Oh, the bow tie? The screaming kid, that's the one thing I thought kind of looked sweet.
The fat kid? Yeah, it made me laugh.
I was just like, might as well. Now, going on to Teddy, and then, Jillian, you said you play the Dreamer. Question I have. I was thinking about, does the Dreamer only work with running the daydreams and the nightmares, or do you see him working with other Neverborn crews?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't think I've played with him enough to really know. I've tended to use him just with his box crew. I just picked up the Daydreams on the ship I just came back from. So I'm looking forward to experimenting more with them. But I've never really tried him with other Neverborn crews. I mean, I've used Teddy with him. And I've used...
you use Cade a lot.
Cade with him, yeah. Cade with him. But that's pretty much it. Other than that, just the Stitch Togethers and Kaladi. Not Kaladi, Kapalius.
Okay, yeah, Kabalus. Yeah, I was trying to put together a crew. I was going to call it my toy box, and I was going to run a Teddy or two, Kaladi, a couple marionettes, some Wicked Dolls with a Dreamer, but I didn't know how it would, if it had any synergy.
and it's hot, maybe.
No, it's good thematically, for sure. But I can't give any insight of whether it'd work with the rules or not.
So the synergy is definitely there with the nightmares for the burying and the unburying.
Okay.
But yeah, so without having nightmares in your crew, you'll have to be... You'll be looking at different tricks, not what people are used to.
Yeah, I don't want to go under the grain of the whole thing of doing the elk bomb and stuff. I mean, it sounds pretty cool, and I see it working 100%. I just don't own any elves, and right now I got to watch what I spend. So I'm like, I looked at the Dreamer box set, what he comes with, and I bought it. I got, you know, the Lord Chompy Bits of Dreamer and stuff. And after buying the Karaya box set and figuring, well, and the Lilith box set, that, you know, they're good box sets, but really, in all actuality, you need more models to play those two box sets correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to limit my model count because I am a crack fiend when it comes to Malifaux lately. I don't know what my deal is. I even ordered Hamlin's box set with some server bases and stuff just because I like Nyx. I won't lie to you. Okay, well, you know, I like to say thank you guys for being on and stuff. You know, as for everyone listening, Where can they find you if they, you know, like what they heard so far?
Either at theethervox.com, that's theethervox, or you can search for The Ethervox on iTunes and subscribe there.
Okay. Any finishing words you guys want to throw out there?
Hopefully there's something for everybody on there. We're definitely not experts in the game, so if you're a newbie, you can listen to us as we kind of muddle along and work stuff out for ourselves. Or if you're a more experienced gamer, we do have guests on for in-depth tacticas, one master per episode. And the guys we have on are very good and they know their stuff. So hopefully, however you are in your Malifaux development, there should be something for you there.
And that's definitely true. Like I said, I just started recently playing within the last 6 months. And I find that your master per episode is actually quite insightful for the new player and, I believe, for the advanced player who maybe can open up some more, tricks to their toolbox and such. And it's pretty cool, you know. You can really learn how to, you know, fish out those crews a little bit just by listening to these different people talk. And the masters you get on there and talk about, are these guys from the forums all the time, or?
Generally, yeah.
Cool.
There's a lot of guys on. A lot of them tend to be with henchmen, after moving playtesters. Like, they spend a lot of time with this game and a lot of time on their particular master. So it's really nice to have someone with that kind of, like, depth of knowledge on. We were shocked the first interview we did that there was so much complexity. You said, oh, you can do this and this and this. And
was that the Zerpedo?
Yeah, we had Adrian on. He said, no, and this ability works with this ability. And like, what, you can do that? Wow. And it was like totally being schooled.
Oh, and I'd like to say thanks a lot, Adrian. A buddy of mine, Andrew Becker, who's been playing me in Malifaux, is definitely running the nurse with Papa Loco. Because of that, thank you. Yeah, that's a pleasant thing. I could have done without that. Well, I'd like to thank you guys for taking the time. I know I probably could have done better, but it was great having you on. And if you liked what you hear, guys,
having us on, it's a pleasure.
Cool. And if
thanks, man.
Oh, no problem. It's nice having everyone on. You know, get a view. You guys are doing great on your podcast, and it's definitely. I don't know, this is kind of a little wrist cutting. I think it's more pleasant to listen to than mine, so it was just like, thank you.
I've been listening to your show for a long time.
Yeah? Good. You like it?
I'm still listening.
Oh, wow. Now, tell the audience that you do not owe me money, and I do not pay you.
It's true.
Good. Very good. Well, I'd like to say thank you, guys. And if you got any questions, you want to check out Ethervox, You know where to catch him. You can also link to him on the side of the Sean Hammer website. And give the guys a shout out. I'm glad they, you know, I'm sure they'd like to hear how they're doing. And you definitely most likely leave them a message or iTunes review. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I love to hear back from people. It's one of the best things about doing the show.
It is nice, too. And it's cool because, now, don't let this spark any interest. I have not gotten any hate mail. So, and it's nice not to get hate mail. when I was on the, the Miscast podcast, I got some hate mail. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed the hate mail when I moved my podcast, but now there's my podcast. I don't like the hate mail, so.
But, like, I'm right. It makes such a difference, doesn't it? Like, I think maybe after episode 3, like, we didn't get much feedback from that. It was kind of a downer. You know, when you get emails coming in, like, oh, great, people actually listen to this, and it seems worthwhile, right?
Yep. Oh, and then not only that, is the emails, just letting you know how you're doing, and even more so, I like getting emails, you know, like, oh, that was pretty cool, but could you do this, you know, and throw out little things that, you know, you didn't think about, and, you know, you can incorporate in your podcast, and it makes the listener happy, and in turn, it makes you feel like you're doing a better job. So that's pretty cool.
Always looking for ideas.
Yep, and let me go over one more thing. I just recently got a new sponsor, and I want to know if you guys heard of this company, Fiendish Fabrications. Either of you hear about them?
It rings a bell, but I can't picture anything.
Well, I've never heard of them.
Well, they do this. I was on the weird forums, and I was just scoping stuff out, trying to figure out actually how to use the forums and post there. I mean, you'll probably see all my posts in, like, the most random spots under Sean Hammer with this cool picture of Spawn. And you're probably saying, what the hell? But I found this this guy. He had this pretty cool base, and I didn't recognize it as one of the weird inserts. So I contacted him. He said, yeah, it's this Australian company. Go ahead and check it out. Now, they do their own little line of Gothica miniatures, but they do round-shouldered bases, the same exact sizes of Malifaux bases. And, you know, you got the 30, your 40, and your 50 millimeter bases. And they already have they're made of polyurethane, so they're not resin, and they're already textured bases. And the guy sent me a whole fire and brimstone for my Lilith crew, and I'm pinning them up and stuff, and... yeah, I'm going to put them on there. I just didn't know if you guys heard about them. And I was going to send you, for taking your time, I was going to send you a couple samples that they sent me.
That would be awesome, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, cool.
We'll talk about them on the show.
Okay. I will go ahead and you guys go ahead and give me your mailing addresses. Ian, I know I have yours. I sent you something one time, didn't I?
Yeah. I got a Black Library novel.
That's what I thought. I was just like, why is this... Your last name so familiar, and then it was just like my wife's all like, well, you mailed something to somebody in Canada named Ian. I was like, oh, I'm a dumbass. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and call it there, and thank you guys again, and we'll be hearing from you soon. I mean, if you'd like to come back on and check it out.
Sounds good to me.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, thanks so much for inviting us on.
No, you're welcome.
All right, that was the guys from the Etherbox. Thank you for coming on. If you like what you heard, you can check them out at theetherbox.com. You can also link to them on the right-hand side of the Sean Hammer webpage. It's a very interesting podcast, a lot of stories and music. And, I mean, if you like Malifaux, you're going to love this podcast, that's for sure. Now, in the beginning of the show, I mentioned something about some free giveaways from Fiendish Fabrications. Make sure you check them out. You link to them on the side, next to Etherbox, or check them out at FiendishFabrications.com. Now, I got two giveaway packs I want to give out. One of them's actually going to be going to the guys at the Etherbox to check out, because they have a doppelganger section. So you can hear more about this product when they do that there. Now, if you want to win this, you want to check them out, just go ahead, just give me an email with Malifaux as the subject. You give me the email me what's your favorite thing about Malifaux, what crew you play, or what crew you wish to play, or any questions you might have for Malifaux that I can read on the air. So that will help out quite a bit, and you can win yourself a handy-dandy little gift pack from Fiendish Fabrications. Look for the show with Bill from the Gamers Lounge coming very soon, maybe possibly even a couple of hours or a day after this, and the Games Day show. So give me your thoughts, your comments, your bitches, your gripes, your compliments. Send them to Sean Hammer, thenumber9@yahoo.com, or check me out on iTunes. And I love iTunes reviews. And I'm not gonna down that. All right, and I'll talk to everyone very soon. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
Black is over black, dark of the night. Come to me, my bleeding light. Till she comes, she comes now. Enter oblivion. Hey, she is Harlem Light in my arms. Hey, she here in 12 below. Oh, please, she has. When she comes down to me, yeah. When she offers me sleep under her black wings. Oh, under her black wings. Oh, under her black. Say she comes on the eve of dusk in another. Demon is called.